If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the One Beloved. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is relax. It is all perfect. Regardless of how it appears, everything is unfolding perfectly. So take a deep breath and release all of the tension, concern, and worry. Get your shoulders down from your ears. Let them just raise up and release. Just let them drop. And we're going to learn how to surf the waves of these new energies. I think it goes without saying, perhaps, that we are in the very midst of the most massive universal shift of consciousness that we have ever experienced. In fact, we can't even see from where we currently are parked in our collective consciousness actually where we're headed. And that's why we have to set our default to that trust that the process, the universal process, will carry us through what we are currently experiencing. So the entire universe and everything and everyone, since we're a unified field of one divine life, is being transformed and birthed from a experience of duality and a polarizational type of arena that's been fear-based and predicated on separation and difference. We're being delivered from that mindset to one entirely within the unified field of love, entirely love-based. And we're awakening to the fact that, in truth, only consciousness and energy exists. So really speaking, our only mission now is to awaken to the love that we are and to consistently live from that loving. So we just had a tremendously powerful full moon a few days back. And we've got an upcoming planetary configuration that was sung about in the song, The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, from the musical Hair. So we have those planetary configurations lined up for this February 14th, Valentine's Day, to indicate indeed the official dawning of the Age of Aquarius. And we collectively co-create these kind of time markers to let us know where we are in the cosmic scheme of things. And this is our signal now to let go and soar. We can't really do anything about the planned dissolution of our corporate nightmare. We have dreamt ego-spawned dreams, which we see playing out in the evening news. In fact, they're out-picturing pretty horrifically, in the sense, if you're going to, put an adjective on them, really they're nothing, they're dreams. But they don't look pretty when we see them on the evening news. And what I would like to share with you tonight is something that perhaps you have some recall of, because we were all called up into a very powerful council meeting upon the inner planes during the full moon. Some of you may have some recall, and if you don't, that's not terribly important. But perhaps the information I'll be sharing, which is based on what was shared during that council meeting, will serve to both trigger your recall, as well as to anchor it more firmly in your knowing. The source of the information is basically from the elders that were gathered, the masters from all the different, all the masters from the various councils of light and the great white brotherhoods, both of this planet and other planetary worlds, were present. All of the great souls, all of us, all of the light workers, all of us were present for this particular gathering. And the masters, particularly the indigenous elders of this and other star nations, have held astounding secrets and have safeguarded them for these times. It's not quite time yet for them to be fully released, for the simple reason we don't have the equipment to understand them yet. You will notice that as you face a particular challenge within the dynamics of the new transforming consciousness, that something within you activates and awakens. That's in exact proportion to what you need to function well within that particular dynamic. So you can come to trust and be confident that with each surcharging of energy, each increment, each quantum expansion of awareness is met with a corresponding ability to adapt and to allow the facilitation of that energy to anchor and embody within you. So tonight as we work, we ask that all of the aforementioned masters that work with humanity, if they would assist to the highest degree and highest good of each person that's listening, to lift the veils and to activate the glands within the head that will serve as the transduction points for this new consciousness to anchor in. And we would ask that this occur in a way that's perfect for each person and according to their free will, choice, and predilection. Take a deep breath. Relax. And bear in mind that things just aren't the way they seem. What you see in the outer world, beloved, believe it or not, has all been humanly generated out of a somnambulant state of deep sleep. It's almost like the fitful dreams of a fetus in utero. None of it really matters. I know it looks awful. It's you know, could be really terrifying to those of you that have been in these tremendous earth changes and catastrophic weather events. Very few of us have remained untouched by some weather phenomena that's taken place. And we can probably gird up our loins to have at least another year, maybe two, of these kind of weather anomalies, because the planet that we live on, as you know, is a sentient, aware being. The consciousness of the universe itself is alive and sentient and aware and awake. And we're all part and parcel of that unified field, exactly as if we were organs within a body or parts of one body, which we are. So whatever affects us in terms of our consciousness is going to have a ramification throughout the planet. And this is what affects the weather. It affects the sun. It affects the universe. We are affected by everything that happens because we are one life. So there is going to be a repercussion, let's say. For example, when you are in a release pattern, you will cry or vent in some way to release the energy that has become a point of tension within you. The earth does the same exact thing. It weeps in the raining. It vents in the volcanic explosions. It stretches the lobes of its brain, you know, in the earthquakes and the splits that occur in the crust of the earth. All of these are adjusting and moving in concert with the energy transformations. So let's just be prepared to be with the fact that it is no longer business as usual. Nothing is going to be as it was before, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be worse. It's all a matter of adjusting your perspective, because this is the most wonderful time. This is what we have incarnated for as light bearers. This is what we have been working for and dreaming about for the last 13,000 years of our in utero sleep stage. And now as we are birthed forth into the era of enlightenment and the dawning of a new earth, as we move forth in the Merkaba of the new earth, you know, it's so many artists are capturing this vision of the earth and its Merkaba found formation, so beautiful, the earth settled, situated in a star tetrahedral Merkaba of light. And hold that vision, because that's what's real, not what you're seeing playing out on the news at night and what you hear the talking heads discussing without ceasing on the news and all the talk shows. That's not really what's happening. That's the effect, but what's really happening is the transformation. Everyone without exception is exactly where they need to be, experiencing what they've already selected as their scenario that they wanted to experience for a whole variety of reasons. And before you think, my God, who would choose, you know, fires in Victoria or, you know, a tornado or whatever, before you jump to those conclusions, bear in mind that nobody dies. Nobody can be affected by anything that seems to happen in the dream, as vivid in the outpicturing as it seems to be. You know, when you have a dream at night, how real it is. Sometimes you wake up trembling and shaking or yelling or weeping, and then you realize it was just a dream. If you can train yourself by constantly reminding yourself, I am seeing a dream. This is not real. I will meet all of these loved ones that have seemingly perished. I will be in my home and find I have never, never left it. I've never left my true home. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm provided for. I'm protected. If you can hold on to these thoughts as we proceed into this cycle. As I've said before, we are witnessing the collective collapse of everything that has been birthed out of this sense of separation, greed, gain at the expense of many. You know, all of the fear-based, polarized constructs that the ego mind has projected out of its collective nightmare is going to dissolve. It's going to be replaced concomitantly with better systems. New things will rise up at the same time, and the things that have been waiting in the wings to enter, the new inventions, the new energy systems, the new souls that are in their youthful stage now and ready to step forth on the outer stage with their new inventions and the things that are present, the new children that have come onto the planet, all of this new consciousness, this wonderful team of light workers that have come in just specifically to deal with facilitating this transformation. So it is worth doing whatever you personally need to do to stay quiet, calm, centered, and at peace. For some of you, it's going to be retraining yourself mentally and emotionally, perhaps physically, so that you you train yourself, you know, the old metaphor of Krishna and the chariot with the horses, you know, the four horses. Well, just get a hold of the reins of your life, the reins of your physical body and your mental body and your astral body and your causal body, and rein in those horses. And allow the divinity that you are to hold those reins steady as your personality sits in the chariot, much like the warrior Arjuna did with Krishna guiding him during the battle of the Kurukshetra, for those of you that may know the Bhagavad Gita. But that's a metaphor for our life. And the Lord has to be our charioteer. He has to be the one that holds the reins, because he's the only one that sees the whole pattern of where we're going. And remember, the Lord lives in you, as you, as your higher self, whatever you want to call it. But that's who you truly are. And so as we watch the dissolution of the old paradigm, and at the same time, the emerging of entirely new global vision, we will begin increasingly so to see from our heart, and to speak from our heart, and to live from our heart, until we again manifest as people who are embodied heart essence. And remember, the heart is the whole unified field. It isn't an organ just in beating in your chest. So no matter how it looks or how dramatic the outer events, remember to remind yourself, it is all perfect. There are no victims. No one is, in highest truth, ever separate from God. God lives in everyone. In fact, is everyone. Everyone is an incarnation of one life and one love. So, everyone is where they need to be for reasons that seldom, if ever, are seen or understood at the level of the human mind. And regardless, you are safe. You are part of God, the universe, and all within it is part of you and part of God. And we're simply awakening, and that's all that's happening here. So, this 13,000-year cycle of slumber, remember, occurred a long time ago, because time, again, is part of the illusion. So what we're experiencing now is really the past part of this transformation, which has already occurred. Now, this is why they've been able to have it unfold so rapidly, because in the past, changes usually took place over billions of years. But we're in the part of the cycle where we have taken a snip in time, if you will. We've done that, allowed that divine editing to take place, to where we're going to experience, in some instances, in minutes, what would have taken maybe millions of years in the past. I mean, how can we even comprehend this? We really can't. So that's why, again, we have to default to trust. We undertook the experiment to enter into duality and limitation, and that experiment has simply come to an end. It's finished. End of cycle. So we are not going to be supported in undertaking things that are part of that old paradigm anymore. This is the end of struggle, effort, trying to force outcome, trying to make things happen, the frantic doing and doing and doing, all of that, all of the worry and stress and concern and plotting and finagling to make things happen in the outer third dimensional world. The energy plugs have been pulled on those type of approaches. Now we need to connect to the unified field and allow the energy that's flowing to flow us and source us where we need to go. And as we develop the awareness that we have, you know, the havingness of whatever it is, that energy is matched by the manifestation. So to manifest anything in this present energy, you need to move to the having of it, to where you feel it and you taste it and you smell it, and it's so real that you're excited about it. And then it doesn't take very long before it's on your lap. And of course that the time of that is going to be collapsing more and more too, to where it will be instantaneous, because you're living from the heart, the spiritual heart. There's no perception ever of any not havingness or any lack. All of that is part of the consciousness that falls away as we progress into this new paradigm. So each person will progress, ascend, if you will. I don't like that word too much because it implies kind of a leaving where you are and going somewhere else, when it's more of an appearing into a new mindset. It's so natural when it happens. But each person will reappear in the place of their highest good. So it's not possible for anyone to be overlooked or lost. I know the metaphor was given many years ago of the three waves of ascension with the beam-ups, you know. But bear in mind, that was given by a messenger that was working very much in the old paradigm. And there was no way to talk about Merkabas or transdimensional relocation or the shifting of grids. We didn't even have any understanding of grids back then. So the new language today is more one of expanding awareness and operating from the unified field of wholeness within you. These are more appropriate languaging instead of going into the technology of creating a light body or manifesting a Merkaba or doing certain breathing exercises or certain yogas or certain things. That's part of that old paradigm. Now we're simply manifesting as the living love. And it's such simple languaging that sometimes we miss the profundity of it because it's just so very simple. So your steps are ordered. I love, absolutely love the example given by the beautiful teacher John Rogers some years ago when somebody asked about free will and destiny and all that sort of thing. And he said, your life is like one of those boats on one of the rides at Disneyland. You've got the captain up there with his steering wheel, and he's doing all these gyrations, putting on a really good show as if he were in charge of the boat, which is like our ego. And then you've got underneath the boat this big, thick cable that's pulling the boat along a pre-designed course, so that no matter how many gyrations the captain seems to go through, the boat's going to arrive very safely to the harbor. And if we can look at our life like that, that under the current of events, there is a thick cable that connects us to our home, our harbor, our safe harbor. And there is no way that we're going to get off track. You know, all of these negative spins that we've had, the negative prophecy, the fear-based religious and scientific beliefs, the New Age, Star Wars, and fear of evil aliens, and, the reptilians or whatever, all of that stuff was birthed out of man's negative ego, out of his fear-based perception. And none of it means diddly-dupus. None of it means anything. There are no enemies. The only enemies, like beauty,
lie in the eye of the beholder. There's truly only love. There's truly only the face of God. There's truly only the one beloved. And to move into the new paradigm, the good news is that everything but the beloved simply vanishes. It just dissolves away. You don't even remember it. It doesn't come to mind anymore. It's done. It's completed. And things that are completed don't leave a residual. That's that karma when you have a residual that's left over. So our experiment to experience duality and separation brought with it all fear-based perception, all enemies, death, and every illusory form. And because it's coming to an end, you may find some of you suddenly waking up with very dramatic changes in your perception. I've noticed with myself that initially everything that I was really involved in, that I really was interested in, I lost interest in it. It's just like, it, as I've mentioned before, these things just kind of flatline. There's no more desire to be involved in them. And even if you try to drum up a little interest, it quickly peters out. So just let those things go. Just let them go. You may find yourself doing very, very different things. Bear in mind again that the earth will not be destroyed, but will manifest into a light body and ascend in a spiral along with the rest of the universe into a new manifestation. So catch the wonder of that when you realize the whole universe is taking a spiral into a new birth, B-E-R-T-H, of consciousness. I think that's extremely beautiful to dwell on. So from now on, nothing will be as it is, as it was before. And we will need to rely on faith and trust for our strength, because we're not going to be able to see what to do, because you're not operating on past data based on the past or history. You're actually creating it in the moment. And again, the secret to creating what you want is to move into already having received it. That's the key. Move into the awareness, I already have it. And then you just move your awareness to where that is and partake of it. Because it's always within you. It's always a state within you before it manifests, seemingly outside of you. So the people who have recently lost houses and jobs, as the masters have indicated, will most likely find themselves drawn to adopt a whole new lifestyle. Many of them will not rebuild in those towns. Oh, perhaps some of them may, but ideally, there would be a gathering more into groupings of communal lifestyles where more things are shared in common, much like we do on other planets. That's how we live on other planets. We share resources. There's no money system. We assist one another and share from the joy of the creative expression that's unique to each person, whatever it is that we like to create. So in that way, all the bases are covered. Everyone has what they need, and nobody really has to work. Work is part of the law. You know, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the unified field, or in the sense of Edenic oneness with God, and they began to experience a separated consciousness, the first thing, they had to work by the sweat of their brow. And labor came in. It was difficult. And even having children, it was like labor and pain. That's part of the old paradigm. I'm not going to do that anymore. So people are not going to be living isolated, lonely, separated lives where, you know, they just feel like nobody cares for them. And that's part of that old paradigm. So we're not going to have that either. So as we join to co-create the basics, and food and water and shelter is taken care of, which will be a given, then we are released and free to co-create a culture based on individual ingenuity and inventiveness, artistic expression, where everything is shared for the benefit of everyone within the community. And because man was created to be a communal being, we're only really happy, I think, personally, when we are joined with others, when love is flowing, and when we're participating in something that's bigger than ourselves. I think we get really depressed and lonely and sad and dysfunctional when we're separated, we're trying to meet our own needs, we're afraid to ask anybody for any kind of assistance, and we're just trying to, survive on our own. What joy is there in that? Really none. So if you find depression or fear coming up for you, as many light workers are, even with all we know, basically we've never experienced this particular type of rapid transformation in a human form. Some of us are very familiar, like myself, with transitioning planets and different cycles. But all that being said, this particular shift on Earth is quite different. So all of us have our work cut out for us in terms of adjusting to this particular transformation. Let's see, what else are we facing? Things aren't exactly panning out like we'd planned. Actually, in retrospect, you'll be grateful they didn't, because, again, you as a spirit have preempted some of your plans, which would have been appropriate if we had another several lifetimes more to appear on this orb. Maybe your educational and career plans would have flowed in that direction. But many of you will find yourself doing things you hadn't even dreamed you would be doing, because it hasn't appeared yet in this dimension. So you kind of have to do what you do until something better appears. But trust me, it will. It will. And if you feel like there's just nothing you can really get involved with right now, just be with that. Just do what you have to do to get through these times. Cheer yourself up. Keep going, because soon it will become apparent to you. And in the meantime, see what you can do to be of assistance to those around you. Because the more you flow out to others in service, the more joy you will release in yourself. New glands of perception, as I said earlier, are being activated to allow for this new transformation of vision to simply awaken. And it's awakening in everyone. And with it, a new understanding is dawning, which enables an entirely new world to become visible. It's like the world's always been there. All worlds are in this space that we're sitting in right now. Everything is here now. But depending upon the lens of consciousness we're looking through, we either see it or we don't. And so a kinder, excuse me, and more gentle version of Earth is appearing. That's what's happening. As Ashtar said some time ago, the cocoon that has been around us will be unwound very gently, and a kinder, gentler version of the Earth will simply become visible. One with no trace of duality, and where we understand we are one, though appearing as many, and we will know that we embody one universal spirit and one all-pervasive love. In fact, we will realize there really is no separate universe out there. We've been speaking about that for several shows now. There's only one loving energy field within which we know ourselves as one with all life. So as we open our eyes in this new awareness, our loved ones of other worlds will become visible. So our brothers and sisters don't have to come very far away from outer space to be with us. They don't have to come in UFOs. All they need to do is to greet our awakening gaze. Because as the consciousness shifts, we find that we've never been separate from anything or anyone we've loved. So you who have been longing for your twin flame, suddenly that other wholeness of yourself will just simply be there. And you'll go on with your life like I did with Ashtar when I was beamed up some years ago and spent a couple weeks aboard ship. I just went on with my cosmic life as if I'd never been here at all. There was no blip. And in fact, the shock was when Ashtar said I needed to return. And I said, what? Return? Where? And then, bam, I was back in this dimension. But this time, when we make the shift, there won't be any more bam back in this dimension. We will be with our loved ones, and we will continue in the higher dimensional version of wherever it is that we have matriculated to. Now, as this occurs, this is some more really good news. Our bodies return to perfect health. In other words, we're being restored to original innocence, original first cause. So the bodies that we appear in will be in perfect health, perfect shape, perfect beauty, perfect youthful appearance, all of it. So to save your money, you won't need a facelift or liposuction or a tummy tuck. In fact, you won't even need money either where we're headed. So this change is, according to the elders, very sudden. And it's not going to be a shock because, as I said before, it's like, did you ever see a person jerk a tablecloth really fast off of a heavily laden table? If they jerk it fast enough, all of the things on the table just kind of leap in the air and then resettle without being pulled off the table. And Ashtar gave that example some years back. He said, it's just like that. It's so fast. And it occurs out of time as you know it. And everything is just resettles, but in a new picture of reality, if you will. So, there's really not a lot that we have to do right now. We really don't have any have-tos anymore. There's no doingness that needs to be done. But there's a lot of releasing concern, releasing fear, and releasing belief systems that have been based on duality and separation and limitation, because that's what we're losing, the sense of limitation. And golly, what would it feel like to not be in a planet under quarantine where we really are limited to 24/7 and the same body and the same appearance and all of that? It's, daydream about a little bit, you know. Go to the what-ifs a little bit, court the thought, court the possibility, because that's going to be our new state. Even though we can't fully understand it from this level at the present moment, unless, of course, we do. But let's say that's the exception more than the most of us. The change is so totally beyond anything that we've ever experienced before that, we're gonna need to be getting used to loving everyone, loving everything. And that will be easy when all of the veils of negativity have vanished. That will be our natural state. So there'll be no war. There won't be any kind of a harmful intent that arises within anyone, anywhere. There'll be no enemies, no lack, no need, nothing that drives us as a have-to or a need or a lusting or a greeting or any of that. That will be gone. There won't be anything to struggle for. So can we imagine a realm of peace and joyous co-creativity where we just do our bliss with a sense of loving connectedness to all life? Wow. No pain, no disease, no death. What are we going to complain about? So all the fearful images projected from our separated ego mind are falling away. They're dissolving. So you won't even have any negative shadow self to process. What are you going to do? Those of you that love to process. So perhaps these might be some useful things that we could practice now. Of course, first and foremost,
painted on your wall or your lipstick on your bathroom mirror, whatever. But write trust. Trust. And I love the lesson from the Course in Miracles that says trust would solve every problem now. So no matter how it looks, set your inner default to trust. Number two, cease doing and practice being. How do you do that? Well, just be present with what's going on in your immediate now and participate in whatever is the most positive direction available within any given moment. Say the most positive thing, think the most positive thing, express the most positive thing. Walk in the most positive direction. Make the most positive choice. That's it. And keep sweet. Don't allow negative ego states to invade your mind. You know, there's thought forms everywhere. And right now, the world is going bonkers. I'll tell you, the outer world is just wacky-doo. Everybody's so afraid and uptight, talking negative, fearful things from morning till night. And everything on television seems like it's about death, which is the opposite of life. And death is false, and life is real. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge to keep your mind directed. So if you, you may have to guard it and redirect your mind continually for a while until you've trained it to stay focused in trusting, loving, and dependence on spirit. So number three, if you need to keep your own world sane and intact, you may need to turn off the TV for a while to guard your peace and to maintain this higher state of consciousness. If you have to do that, then do that. You know, I don't, as a rule, generally tell people to avoid the earth because we're here to make peace with it and to see the peace of God and the face of God no matter what the circumstance. But it's very difficult to hold a higher consciousness if you're constantly feeding yourself through all of your sensory intake with negative imagery. So make sure you don't overdo negative imagery. Try to really focus now on raising your vibrations as high as you can by really edifying and positive intake. So as the shift gets more dramatic in the outer, try to create your own life in a way where you have foreseen the possibility of power outages or possibility of interrupted food transportation or maybe the need to have water. Things. You know, if you're guided, this is not a frantic thing, but if you're guided, you live in an area that, for example, is prone to tornadoes or something like that, you might want to consider whatever. You'll be guided. I'm not going to make anything that you have to do because it's not about that. But to the best of your ability with what you've got at hand, if you're guided to do so, make as much provision as you can so that if you don't need it for yourself, you'll be in a position to help someone else who may. And that's a positive thing you can do if, again, that's something that you can do. And so if you sense depression, you're going to need to turn off that TV, number one. And I would suggest the study of music, art, or join a singing group. I don't know anything that will shift you out of negative consciousness faster than those particular approaches. Or take up yoga, or tai chi, or dance classes, or something that gets you involved in doing something where you lose, you know, you get out of your head. And you begin to get down into an activity that you can lose yourself in, which is a very, very good thing to do. And keep focused in creative projects and or service projects, preferably with others. That's a very, very important thing now, is that we feel connected, that we're in some sort of, whether it's a Course in Miracles group or a meditation group or a bhajan singing group or whatever, church, whatever, something that fills us and feeds us. And also breathe deeply and try to go outdoors and walk in the fresh air and sunlight a little each day. That's really great to keep your auric field and energy free and flowing. When you take a deep breath, allow yourself to consciously feel your connection with God within you. and with all the love that fills every cell of your body. Know yourself to be made entirely of love. You are love through and through. Love is your nature. Love is your mission. Love is the God divinity dwelling within you. Love is the only thing that you need to do. Love is the only purpose of your body. Love is the healer. Love is the savior. Love is the way. Love is the Christ. Love is the only begotten and only created living word of God within you. That's love. So there is truly nothing but love. When you get high enough in the divine consciousness, there's only love. And everything else is a false image, temporarily appearing to be real. So the love that I speak of has no need, no attachment, no lusting, no fear. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And the only commandment of Jesus was that we, the only two commandments, the greatest commandments, he said, was to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our fellow man as ourselves. So when you're in that, you're in the Christ consciousness, you're in the unified field, you're in that higher realm, and although it's you know, if a person is self-realized, it's one can manifest loving sitting alone in a room, but generally speaking, love implies relating to others. And to generate that feeling of love, it's important to interact with people. In fact, the first thing that happens when you're in your negative self, your negative stuff, is that you'll tend to withdraw and close down contact and communication. You go into your little shell, your little room. You don't feel like going out and you don't feel like talking to people. And that's a sign that you're in your negative self. So the more you can break that tendency to isolate, to contract, and the more you can expand out and join the human race, go out and move about in the world and see it as a friendly, loving place, and begin practicing seeing people as God in disguise, you know, that's all Jesus in disguise, or, you know, whatever your favorite form of God is, it's all Krishna or Divine Mother, whatever. But see people as in costume. They're all in disguise, seeing if you can discern the one beloved behind that costume. It can be fun if you approach it that way. So it's so important, beloveds, to realize there's nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing. Release all worry. Don't be afraid about your bills. You know these credit card companies that have been based upon greed and high exorbitant extortion through interest rates and things like that. You know, don't be concerned with these things, because many of these things are going to really totally collapse because they have not been in right dharma. They haven't been lovingly directed. They've been at the expense of others. And it's interesting watching the accountability that our president is calling certain people to now. It's really, really interesting, and it's again part of us deciding that it's no longer okay for a few people to prosper at the expense of the many, and the suffering and the impoverishment of the many. So this is part of what we are doing collectively as a awakening humanity, is that we're putting an end to some of these things, and we're also blowing the whistle on where they're still, you know, doing these behaviors. So again, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live or what's going to happen. Leave it to God. Relax. Let go. Allow the Lord's loving arms to carry you through this process. That's the best thing you can do. Relax. Everything and everyone you truly need and truly love, or love, just period, because love is one. They will all be with you, and everything is already prepared and provided for you, and all is well. No matter what, just keep focused on loving and trusting, and do the best you can to you know, batten down your hatches and consider where you're living, if that's really where you want to be, or if you've compromised and settled in for someone else's reasons other than your own. This is a time, you know, of such pure wonder and miracles and joyful discoveries. That's what is before us. The elders have said again and again that the world, the whole earth will be transformed. It will be filled pristinely with beauty and joyous singing. And it's a time that, oh my gosh, if we could get a grasp of how long we have incarnated and worked towards this time of transformation in which we find ourselves. But you know, when you're looking at it from the higher planes, it seems like such a cakewalk. And then when you get down here, it's much different than what you imagine. So again, don't stress the small stuff. Just train yourself to default into peace and trust. And don't be concerned about knowing what's going to happen in the future. None of us know. Not even the highest ones know, because it's a time that we will decide what we want to create out of the joy of our unified field of love. But it will be wondrous, whatever it is that we do. So as we return to being people of the heart, as we were originally created, we will manifest anything that is required from that heart space, which only sees and desires the good of everyone. So no matter how you do it, whether you ascend in consciousness or disappear into the new earth grid or seem to die within the old earth dream, he will still go to the place that you will experience and recognize as home with a capital H, where you are best adapted and it will be perfect for you. So take that and let that light your path. And God willing, I will speak with you next week. And let's go out chanting. Let's do the hue. Take a deep breath. Hue. Good night.